Lifers podcast. Get with it or get forgotten.
Hey, all you lifers out there. Welcome to the Lifers podcast, where we serve a life sentence in sports. Your trustees are here, Papa Josh, with our boy King Mikey right now, aka Mikey Conlin.
Hello, hello.
Bro, so of course it's MMA Monday.
It's a beautiful day to be in Phoenix. Right?
It really is. It's great, and it's kind of, there's a lot of things in the air right now. I was just kind of looking at the future events, which there's only really one. I thought there was two, because they keep talking about a May 30th card, I guess fight night in Vegas, but they're not sure if it's going to happen in Vegas. If not, then it's going to be in Arizona. So, but the one that I guess they're most concerned about is that June 6th card, which is 250, which is pay-per-view with Amanda Nunes
as the main event. I'm a little behind, I think.
No, you're good. I was trying to see two different cards. I couldn't see the fight night card. I just saw the June 6th card. So I don't see the May 30th card. So I'm wondering kind of, you know, as much as there's definitely some ranked opponents in this card for 250. Mm-hmm. It's rough for them to kind of
dive into that. We just had a stacked week of fights. I don't think we've had three events within a week since, I think, International Fight Week of 2016. And that was headlined by Jon Jones. Well, it was supposed to be headlined by Jon Jones in D.C.
Yeah.
Ended up being headlined by Amanda Nunes and Misha Tate. So yep. I think that was the last time, three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy because these last few fights, I mean, of course, I think that Nunes fight is going to be – there's going to be fireworks going off in that.
The upcoming one?
Huh?
The upcoming one?
Yes.
Felicia Spencer is very tough. Her only loss is to Cyborg, and she's a local to Orlando, actually. She trains out of Orlando at the Jungle MMA, yeah.
Nice. So, heck yeah.
Can't help but root for her, but also my girlfriend is a big Amanda Nunes fan, and I actually really like her too.
I mean, she's a beast. She's able to put away some legends in women's MMA.
I think she's the GOAT, and if she gets dethroned, it's going to be epic.
We'll see. You never know, right? Especially now with everything that's going on, what kind of training they've adhered to, and what kind of just kind of the stresses of dealing with something like this, where, you know, your gyms might not have been available like you would have wanted them to.
Yeah. I don't think anyone knows how to deal with this.
It's wild. I mean, especially, bro, it's like a high profile ultimate fighter. Like, that's what it reminds me of a little bit, where there's nobody in the stands. All you hear are the cornermen. And just the fighting. The
person, though, that was a different element. I can't imagine, like, living in the same house as someone.
No, for sure, for sure. I mean, just event-wise, you know, event-wise, it just reminds me a lot of The Ultimate Fighter. I'm really curious to see how this moves forward. But going back to what you mentioned, let's talk about some of these fights that just happened. Most recent, I think. Let's go back actually a little bit further. Going on that that Smith fight with Glover. Man, what a rough go for Anthony Smith.
Dude, he was looking good in the first round. I thought that he was gonna coast his way, outclass him. I thought he was honestly gonna put out Glover.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Glover was on such a resurgence. He ate the shots. He let him gas himself out, and he put him away. And my buddy Alon, fellow UFC fighter, well, not fellow, I'm not in the
UFC. Featherweight, right? UFC
fighter? He's in the UFC, and I talk to him pretty frequently. He was giving me some interesting takes. He said that Glover was not trying to finish the fight. Like, he wasn't putting him in bad positions to finish the fight. And I think he could have finished it in the second or third. Maybe the third, because the second he was getting rocked.
Yeah.
Third and fourth, 10-8s, and then, you know, he finished the fight in the fifth. But it was brutal to watch. And same thing with Tony Ferguson. And, you know, the two main events before the Alistair and Walt Harris, those are two brutal main events. And, you know, like, we love the action. We love the sport. You know, it's a blood sport. But when it gets to a certain point, you're just like, stop the fight. I think one of the first times I saw like a come on, ref, what are you doing? Or cornerman, what are you doing? Was Weidman and Rockhold, UFC 194. Ooh. That was hard to watch too.
Yeah, yeah. A poor Weidman. Shout out to him. I mean, has he? I'm trying to remember.
Still coming, bro. I think he's fighting Jack Hermanson. That's his next.
Okay.
That's a tough fight. Back to 85. He's on a pretty rough skid right now, but he believes he can come back, and I think he can too. I'm actually a Weidman fan now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know how I felt about him when he was in the midst of dethroning Anderson, but
Anderson.
He's a good dude. He works hard.
Then, one of those New York cats, you know. I think him and Ally Quinta, I think Barbosa. I think they all come out that gym. I forgot the name of the gym.
Longo and Weidman, Law MMA.
Yep.
I have an old teammate and a friend that trains up there too. His name is Matt.
Nice. Heck yeah.
Frivola Frivola.
Hey, all right, that's not a mouthful.
He's a big deal.
Hell yeah. But yeah, man. I forget. Like, we have these conversations off the podcast, and I forgot we haven't even covered 249. The aftermath of what happened.
I'm a betting man, and during lockdown, I'm a very bad betting man. So
you posted it online, and I'm right there with you. I think we were kind of in line with a lot of our picks, and it's just been unfortunate.
Man, that's fighting, though. Every fight is 50-50.
Well, I think, you know, going back to 249, now that I've come to realize we haven't really spoken about it, quickly, I mean, Verdum.
Such very bad.
Did not look in shape.
You saw it as an MF-er, bro.
It showed 240-year-olds. It showed one that had 2 years off and one that was active, somewhat active at least. And
active enough to beat an out of shape fighter.
Verdum, I mean, you know, he didn't even attempt to try to really go to the ground, though, where is really where his bread and butter's at. He did not. He tried to strike with him because, you know, obviously that's where his last, I feel like, you know, when he was being successful was when he was striking, but that was also when he was on the goodies.
On the juicy juice.
You know? That was rough. For me, it was one of those things where I was hoping, similar to Dominic, it's their comeback, even though his was more based off, you know, violating the rules and taking PEDs. You know, you still hope for that surgence of, like, man, you know, that's like a legend. And, man, he just, unfortunately.
I'm not the biggest
fan. I was short that night.
I mean, I bet on Werdum because, you know, I figured he is more skilled and can submit Olenek. Even though Olenek's no slouch on the ground, I've been to a jiu-jitsu tournament. And I've seen him there, and he's doing pretty well. It's hard to beat. But Werdum's a world champion in jiu-jitsu. He won worlds at Blue Belt, you know? So he's pretty accurate. You know, he's got some accolades, and he submitted a ton of people. Walt Harris being one of them. Fedor.
Yep.
I think he armbarred Nogueira, too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean,
but
that's why you don't bet against that guy. At least that's what I was thinking when we did.
Don't like Werdum ever.
You mentioned that too last time.
The dumb face he makes. He threw a boomerang at Colby Covington. He just, I don't know. I didn't even notice he was gone.
Well, I mean, it's, we'll see where he kind of goes from here.
Hope he gets Greg Hardy and breaks Greg Hardy's arm.
Ooh, we'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, you never know. He might want to stand with Greg Hardy and then might end up getting clipped.
I think Greg Hardy can put people out, but at the same time, like, man, I don't like him either. I try not to judge people based off of their outside, you know, their life outside of MMA, but it's still who they are. And who he is a pretty shitty person. And you'd be surprised, there's a lot of people I think it's okay to put their hands on a woman.
Oh, for sure. There's no room for that. I mean, and again, I think I'm like conflicted, right? Because I'm a big advocate for, like, domestic abuse is fucking horrible.
Of course,
like there's no, again, like you mentioned, there's just no reason for a man to ever put his hands on a woman, and the charges against him were bad.
It can't be as bad as Ray Rice, though. That's probably the
worst. That one looked pretty bad, but I mean, hey, listen, again, just like Ray Rice, there was a lot of redemption and. He came back from it, and he never had an NFL career, but being an advocate for domestic abuse, he became that. Him and his wife ended up coming up with, you know, charities and foundations to help with that. and realizing that you have an issue. That's where I'm kind of conflicted, because as much as if you're willing to do the crime, you got to be willing to pay the time and pay the consequences. And I think they kind of both did. I think Ray Rice was way worse than Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy still played for Dallas.
I think Ray Rice is locked up.
Huh?
I think Ray Rice is locked up. His was pretty brutal, and it was on video.
No, he was. Yeah, his was bad. And I don't know if he was – I know he got arrested. I don't think he served time like that, though. Mm. But he definitely lost his career, was done after that. Of course. And rightfully so, my man. You know, you do these things. You have to do it.
Sorry to cut you off. I don't think I'm a Greg Hardy fan. I don't wish bad on anybody, but I would just love – I mean, if I saw him unconscious from, like, Ngannou or Black Beast, I can't say that I'd be upset.
Heard. I mean, listen, I mean, that's –
the best of his career, but at the same time, don't fight them.
He has to – and he knows that. That's the thing. I would like to think that he knows that people – just like Colby Covington, people are waiting to watch him lose because – either of your personality now or what you might have done in the past. I'd like to try to believe from what people have said about him in certain interviews that they believe he's a good person from what they've seen, at least that he's changed and that he's trying to redeem himself in some form or fashion. We'll see. I don't think he's talented enough to compete at a top level in the heavyweight division, even with the shallow division that it is.
Shallow, yeah.
Same I just don't probably. Think... Even if Stipe, DC, they're gone, they retire, right? Francis Ngannou, I feel like, is going to be the next heavyweight champion. And good luck to anybody who's going to want to tussle with him, because his ground game is getting better. At least defensively, he's getting better and better. And his hands are just getting better and better.
That's true.
I just heavyweight-wise, at least as of now, I don't see any real big threat to him.
What I saw in the
besides DC, right? Like DC and somebody like Stipe that's beat him in the past.
What I saw when he fought Stipe was like negative takedown defense and cardio.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And I think DC can still beat Francis, but the more time that goes on, the smaller those chances get, because you know primes and
for sure. Well, it has to happen soon. Yeah. You know, I don't think DC is going to wait another year.
I'm trying to get DC.
Oh, I love him. Love him. I think he needs – we'll see. I mean, he talked about, you know, there's been the rumors of potentially him fighting Ngannou for the belt and stripping Stipe, but it's like, oh, man, doesn't that get muddy? Like, you're stripping a guy. You're stripping a guy, then you're going to give it to – let's say DC does pull out the win like everybody is thinking he's capable of. Then he retires. Then you got another belt that just got vacant, you know.
I mean, if there's anyone to beat Ngannou, it's three people. It's Stipe, Kane, and DC, and two have tried. Well, one tried successfully, but I'm just saying.
Won't that be the case that Stipe would make if, let's say, he was stripped, and if DC beats him, it's like Stipe would be like, well, whatever, I beat him too. So what does it matter that you know, it's going to be like, I feel like you never fought me to take it back, take your belt back. You beat a guy that I already beat, you know?
Stipe 3, or I'm not watching. Well, I don't want
to. We're watching Ngannou DC. Stop it. It's just, I think for the belt-wise, legacy one, it doesn't, I mean, I guess it does help DC depending on, if DC just grounds and pounds him and just puts him away, then.
Put him in the third or fourth.
I think he can very well do that. He's going to have to. He's not going to strike with him. He's going to take it to the ground and just, you know, I would assume the game plan is to try to make it either dirty boxing while he's on the feet and get him in the clinch because he doesn't have the reach for him, and eventually just try to take him down and keep him down and hurt him.
Fighting another, fighting a more muscle bound Anthony Johnson, same exact fight style, less cardio.
Was Anthony Johnson 260?
He's fought heavyweight before. He beat Arlovski.
I know he has. I was trying to think though. Was he on the heavier end, or was he still kind of like 240?
No, he fought DC at 205 and then retired.
So he fought in light heavy. See, but that's the thing is, Francis Ngannou is like 260, bro, 265. He plays on the heavier end of the heavyweight. I mean, I think he hits harder than Anthony Johnson. I mean, it looks like he's I mean, this man sent Overeem to the next dimension, which shout out to Overeem for getting that win over Walt Harris. Very hard fought win, sad. Which we'll get to. But my goodness, I mean, the shot that he took from Overeem, I mean, from Ngannou was.
Yeah. He sent him to another realm.
I think arguably one of the best strikers in the heavyweight division ever.
Of course, he's making one last run. I think he's got to beat someone big like Volkov, or he's got to beat Black Beast. I don't think they've ever fought.
I think he's not going to get it back unless he fights Ngannou again.
He's never going to fight Ngannou. No one wants to see that. I mean, if you get knocked out, you don't deserve a right. It could be a lucky shot, but I mean, if you're out cold,
I'm not saying right away. I'm saying for his redemption of his string of losses, if he can at least, whether it be a championship bout, even though I think that's kind of what he wants. I think he wants to be the heavyweight champion again, and then he'll probably again retire if he goes on a streak again. But no one's gonna look at him like, oh man, he's where he needs to be until he beats somebody in the top tier. And unfortunately, in the heavyweight division, there's three men, which is Stipe, Ngannou, or DC.
Yeah.
Besides that, I mean, unless he knocks him out in fantastic fashion, I don't know who else people are gonna look at him and say, oh, he's back to not the super Overeem, but back to form to at least competing for a championship. Because I think that's what he wants. I think he wants to at least make a run to be a contender. But with the division the way it is, you're not a contender unless you beat at least what? Who'd you mention?
Volkov? And Black Beast.
Okay. And Derek?
Who beat Ngannou?
I would like... Yeah, right. Oh, I would like Volkov. I think Volkov would be a great fight.
I think Derek Lewis
would be an exciting fight too. I think there'll be a little bit more credibility with Volkov.
I think Black Beast knocks out Overeem because Overeem's very chinny, and I think Volkov can out cardio Overeem.
I'm not saying he'd win those fights, but I mean, those Volkov, I feel like he would get a better leg up in possibly being in the talks to maybe compete for a championship. But for him, unfortunately, it's going to look like it's going to be after, most likely after DC and Steve Aragon, because he's not fighting those guys.
Yeah, it's a very confusing division right now. I feel like it's up in the air.
I mean, who's up in the air, look what Cejudo did, retiring after beating Dominic Cruz, the king of cringe, Triple C, the best combat sports athlete ever, apparently. Self-acclaimed, by the way.
Gold medal is pretty hard to get. Not many people do that. Well, Romero was number two.
Did it at the age, I believe, of 21, and then retired. Never went back to wrestling. Ended up getting into MMA, lost to one of the greatest flyweights in the world. Came back, went on a string of wins, and ended up, you know, it was debatable whether he won that fight against Mighty Mouse, but did enough to win the belt, and then beat some really good guys. I mean, granted, both were probably stopped maybe a little bit premature. I think the TJ Dillashaw one was probably, I think, worse than Dominic, because Dominic ate like 12 unanswered shots.
He did.
Where TJ was just kind of flash knocked down and then just pounced on him. I mean, he's made it do what it do. I wish he would have fought TJ Dillashaw at 135 and taken that belt in that manner. I think Dillashaw just depleted himself to make 125, and that's why.
He said he barely cut any weight, and it was super easy for him to make 25.
Who, TJ?
He's also cheating.
I was just going to say, who, TJ? The liar? The guy that lied?
You know? Cardio. That, it, like, replenishes your blood cells, apparently.
Yeah. I think he was just a little too depleted, man. I think he needed to stay at 135 and have, if anything, have Henry come up, because that division is – there's nothing for you in that division if you win. If you're TJ Dillashaw, you're going down for what? To just win the belt and then vacate it? Because – you're never going to want to deplete yourself to fight in that division again.
I don't think they should get a title shot unless they fought in that division, have a win in that division.
Yeah, I guess.
He says it's unfair to cut people, but if you sell tickets, that's what matters.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, hey, shout out. Props to Henry. He stuck to his game plan, and it worked. I mean, he caught him with that knee.
He's also coming out of retirement, too.
We'll see. He's got to get paid.
Either Sterling or Peter Yan, but I feel like Sterling deserves it more.
I think unless Dana White is willing to give him that money, he's not coming back.
I want to see Garbrandt come back, too.
Garbrandt's good. He's excited. Well, he's exciting fighter.
He's on a pretty bad skid, though. Three in a row.
But you never know. With guys like that, they can turn it around. Especially a guy like him, again, who he was able to out-angle somebody like Dominic Cruz. Granted, Dominic Cruz, from what he said, wasn't really prepared. Was kind of surprised by his striking. But Garbrandt can strike with the best of them. I mean, remember, he caught TJ Dillashaw, too. I think in both fights. In the first one, he had him, I think, a little bit more hurt. Mm. And it was just at the end of the round. Garbrandt's got those hands. He just – I think, unfortunately, Alpha Male's had, I feel like, a reputation for developing certain fighters but maybe not refining them as much as some people think they need to be. I think that's why, you see some of these guys, I guess, leave because just of – from what like Dillashaw was mentioning, I forgot if there was another fighter that mentioned something similar, or maybe it just might have been Ludwig, who's Dillashaw's coach when he was
some type of falling out.
Yeah, well, Ludwig came in for striking. They brought him in for striking, and then when he left, basically they thought that he stole TJ Dillashaw. That was kind of bad blood. I'm curious to see how that division unfolds now that he's vacated two divisions. He's left the 125 and 135 divisions just empty-handed. So unless Dana is ready to pay that money, he probably won't be back until it's sweet enough for him.
I feel like they'll pay him. They should.
Hopefully. Going to the main event of 249, Tony Gaethje. Rough.
I can't help but think that the weight cut that Tony did 2-3 weeks earlier played a factor.
Eddie Bravo said it on JRE on the Fight Companion that Tony swears that's not the case. I agree. I feel like there had to have affected him somehow, right?
How can it not? I feel like death when I cut weight. I can't imagine feeling like death twice.
But
in a month.
I don't know if he realized the kind of striking match that he was gonna be in with a guy like Gaethje, because I'm trying to think who else. He hasn't fought anybody as heavy-handed as Gaethje. He never fought anybody as heavy-handed. Striking wise, Barbosa was maybe the best striker that he might have faced.
Cowboy's
really more leg kicks, because Pettis is a pretty
thing. Michael Johnson hits pretty hard. I think Pettis can hit hard too.
Yeah, but nothing. They're not known for hitting hard. They're not known for having.
Gaethje used to have them.
Gaethje's known for knocking out, for knocking people out.
And when
Pettis fought Tony, that was again. It's already on his decline. I think he hadn't even beat. That was before the Wonder Boy fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think. Bravo said it pretty well in Jerry, where they were prepared, and so did Shab. They're preparing for Khabib and hoping to keep it on the feet. And then if Khabib ultimately took him down, he was going to be able to strike him from the ground, hit him with elbows, use his transitions, use his jiu-jitsu to either submit him or bring it back to the feet where he could outstrike him. And he met up with a guy who, unfortunately for him, is a really great striker who has really great boxing and has amazing takedown defense. So somebody more in line with him that won't take you down and will keep it standing. And, I mean, Tony just doesn't – it seemed like he just didn't have the head movement enough to stay away from those shots, man, because Gaethje just kept landing. And shout out to Trevor – much praise to Trevor Whitman, his coach – that after the second round, after he got clipped and dropped, told him to take 10% off his cleaners. He's like, you keep throwing these cleaners. Mm-hmm. He's like, just take 10%, land your shots, and throw a cleaner every once in a while, but only after a combo. Only after you throw, a jab after. Like, you got to follow it up with something. You can't just start throwing those out there. And sure enough, he listened to his corner and picked him apart, man. I mean, you could see the patience, the level of patience, the progress that he's made in compared to somebody that fought like Poirier or even
Alvarez,
where you got him hurt and he throws all caution to the wind and steps right into the fire. This one, bro, you saw him hurt him multiple times.
This case you'd be undefeated in the UFC.
I'm sorry?
In case you would have been undefeated in the UFC.
I mean, he caught some bad breaks, man. He caught some bad breaks, what a great way to learn, man. And he's been put now in a position where he can potentially be the champion. I don't think he's gonna beat Khabib, but
I do.
I'm sure. We can put a little friendly wager. You know, we'll talk about it after the podcast.
I just don't think that. Gaethje's wrestling is not shown for a reason. And to people that have wrestled with him, no. And I'm going off their opinions because Jordan Burroughs is one of the best wrestlers in the world, if not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And he said, good luck keeping him down. Good luck taking him down.
I think
the takedown king's like, he's hard to take down, impossible to keep down. I'm like, okay. All right, I'm convinced. That's all you have to say. I don't need to see him wrestle.
We'll see. I mean, there's been multiple people. Obviously, Ed Ruth's been his name's been thrown around when it comes to Khabib. We'll see. I mean, Justin's never faced a level of grapple in the UFC like Khabib, and arguably Khabib is going to face one of the best people with some of the best takedown defense because of his level of wrestling background. So. And granted, Tony has a great wrestling background too, but just is not known for the takedown. Hasn't taken anybody down in like 5 years. Is just known more. He's more reactionary than somebody who's gonna attack and try to get a takedown. So it's gonna be an interesting lineup. I mean, Eddie Bravo said a great. If this would have ever happened, I mean, the internet would blow up. Hey, what's up?
Anyone say hi?
And he mentioned if Khabib Gaethje fought as the main event and Conor Tony fought as the co-main event, that would just
I don't think he takes Tony though. I think he takes Diaz, and I don't know who Masvidal gets. I know that he's.
We'll see. I mean, if Masvidal ends up fighting Conor. I mean, if that's on the same card, that's going to be a ridiculous card to watch.
Connor and Diego. No.
We'll see. I mean, I think
those two are fighting.
Who? Connor Gaethje?
And Diego Sanchez.
Oh, Diego. Get out of here. Can you imagine?
That's years in the making.
Oh, my gosh. No. Diego Sanchez. Wait, Diego Sanchez or Nate Diaz?
Sanchez.
Versus Connor?
Yeah, bro. Well, there's smoke, there's fire.
No, man. You can't take out.
Almost happened in like 2015.
Yeah, that was 2015, bro. Diego Sanchez is way too old.
That would be one of the most one-sided beatings I've ever seen in my life.
Of course. Poor guy. fucking Sanchez. I feel bad for Tony. I think, hopefully they're going to give him his next fight's going to be a top opponent, somebody that can get him back in the mix of competing for a championship, because there's no way you go on a 12-fight win streak. There shouldn't be, but you never know, I guess, right?
All in one in the last 8 years. Ridiculous.
So let's see what happens with that, right? I guess let's also cover – the following card, which I believe was we covered Smith and Glover. And then who else was that? I think I'm fortunate with that card. I'm trying to think of what other fight. That was the – who else was on that undercard? Was there Drew? Oh my goodness!
Drew Dober and Alex Hernandez.
Drew Dober looked pretty good. Alex Hernandez, you know, ain't no slouch, but he's also, I think Alex Hernandez has been kind of on a losing streak, ain't he? Looking here. Let's see. What is going on here? I was hoping it'd show me all these events. I've seen every other article possible. Let's see.
There's a lot of good fights. I think we've been spoiled lately.
For sure. Well, I think that's why, like, the Nunes fight, I mean, granted, there are some ranked fighters on there. It's just...
We had Ige and Barboza, which I thought that Barboza won. Anders Jotko. Song and Vera was a good fight.
I saw that one, but that was in this last one, right? With the Overeem Harris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the most recent one.
Who was in the last?
So Simone and Borg, Arvlosky, Lins, Johnson and Moises, Rothwell and St. Pro, which I had Rothwell.
What is that?
Things that need to be.
Oh.
Sorry. Damn ads.
Damn it.
Damn ads. Hate you. Yeah, I think that card I wasn't able to catch too many besides the last, really the main event. You said you saw the Barboza fight?
Yeah, I thought the Barboza won that.
How was that one looking? Did Barboza look good or?
Barboza looked really good. I mean, Ige is definitely underrated, but I thought he did enough. But you know, I'm not a judge.
Heard.
I don't know what warrants as a robbery anymore. You know, there's always gonna be fans on both sides.
Yeah. Oh, the Ben Rothwell fight was on.
UFC just wrapped up three shows in 8 days. Yeah.
All these ads. All these videos. Sorry to all you lifers out there. So it's looking like, yeah, Ben Rothwell. I didn't catch that fight, unfortunately. I saw a little bit of the Drew Dober fight. I'm upset I missed that Ray Borg fight because I think that Ray Borg, he hasn't – I feel like he's only had one other fight since the injury that he had, right? He hasn't really fought too many times, I feel like.
I think he's tried a few times at 25, really couldn't make the weight, and then now he's at 135.
Okay.
He's a solid grappler. I think he doesn't have bad striking either, but I guess he just can't get the weight right.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Johnson. Yeah, this card, I think both cards I really didn't get to catch, unfortunately, anything until the main event.
Yeah, dude, freaking Michael Johnson got heel hooked. Or it was a straight ankle, maybe.
Ankle lock. It says ankle lock.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since we got mobile on
it's rough. My goodness. Yeah, man, I mean, it's been pretty – some pretty great main events when it comes to the Glover fight and even this Harris, even though the Glover fight was obviously pretty brutal with Anthony Smith literally losing teeth and just getting beat down the way he did.
Apparently he's got veneers, which is he's got like fake teeth or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still rough, man. Still rough. You gotta get those replaced, my man. So shout out to him though for having the heart of a lion, like his nickname, Lionheart. Because he you know, exactly what you said. Try to put him away in the first two rounds. Gassed himself out, and Glover being the vet.
He had, like, real-life trauma with that intruder breaking into his house.
Oh, the Harris fight. No, Smith. I'm sorry. You're right. Smith. You're right. Smith.
I can't imagine that didn't affect him at all. He took a fight, like, 2-3 weeks later.
Yeah.
He's kept on protecting your family, defending your household. He probably wanted another paycheck or had that fight lined up. But maybe the UFC offered some money, but and he just came. That's a pretty traumatic thing, you know, someone breaking in your house and you not knowing, and then beating them up and having trouble beating them up.
Might have been rough.
Feels, been rough. if it was Glover in your house, it would have been a rough night, you know?
Hey.
Even John Jones.
Are you John Jones, huh? You John Jones?
John Jones is such a prick.
But savage. Jay's savage. Man.
Not me in the house.
I mean, I think from what – I forgot who mentioned. I think someone had mentioned – I don't know if it was John Thompson on his podcast on Weighing In or Weigh In, where someone had mentioned that his plan was to try to put him away in two rounds. That was his plan. I don't think he had planned to get past three rounds.
And, I don't know if he hurt Glover, but he was landing his 1-2, his low kick, the teep kick. Like, he was doing what he wanted. And I know he has the power to do it.
For sure, for sure. I mean, I think it's just Glover, being the vet that he is, waited, stayed patient. And once he felt him just fatigue a little bit, started pushing the pace and put it on him. And I mean, shout out to him for having the presence of mind to just stick to his game plan. Because I think they knew that this was what he was going to do. He was going to come out swinging. He was going to come out hot, sprinting. And unfortunately for Smith, he tired himself out and got beat. So let's see where he comes from this and where Glover kind of what's his next step. Because, again, even the light heavyweight division, you know, unless you're seeing rematches with Thiago Santos or Dominic Reyes, I don't know who else is going to excite people to watch another John Jones fight. You know,
I mean, in terms of contenders, everyone had their money on Johnny Walker, but kind of lost Corey Anderson. And yep. I don't want to see
Corey. And then Corey Anderson lost and was like, ah.
Yeah, I don't want to see Corey Anderson against John Jones. And Blankowicz, I think he's in like 2 or 3 fights.
Yeah.
One in a row. I think John dominates him.
I mean, that's what John was talking about, I think, fighting him potentially. I think he would be the next person up. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think
– I don't know who Reyes thinks he is. I don't think he even won that fight. Yeah, he pushed forward and threw heat. But, dude, John was never in trouble all 25 minutes.
No. He was hitting him. I think he was definitely scoring. I felt like he squeezed one by. But it was too close to
I thought he won.
It was too close for me to say like, oh, he's got robbed. I just think it was
maybe 2 rounds at most. 2 rounds.
Yeah, and it was in the beginning, you know.
I mean, maybe the first round, but I saw John Jones. What I saw at least, because I after the fight, I was looking around my table.
Listen, man, you're the experienced one here, so I'll take you.
just what I saw. I mean, at the end of the fight, I just kind of looked around. I'm like, another John Jones win? You know, everyone was in agreement, you know? Yeah. And then I go online, what a robbery. Oh, Reyes is the champ. I'm like, you guys just hate John Jones as a person. So do I. I mean, I don't think he's like a class act citizen. I don't think he's
the best
person in the world, but I thought he won the fight.
Listen, if there's anything that we've come to learn of John Jones now is that good boy image that he had in the past, that he was trying to pass when he was in his 20s, when he was the youngest champion, is not the case. He's just not that guy. And you would think, I think people thought with age he was going to change, and he's just not. He's good to the people that he is loyal to his people. But if you're an opponent, he's a savage. He does not give a fuck. He's going to talk shit to you and do whatever he wants because at this point, he is the greatest of all time. He's the greatest light heavyweight champion of all time. Sure. One of the best combat athletes of all time.
Hard to imagine.
Sorry, Cejudo. But
with a clean career, you know, I feel like he could have accomplished some great things. I think he would have whooped Rumble too.
Yeah, man. It's just he's levels. Now, interesting fight if he fights Ngannou.
I think he beats him.
He's been having troubles with some of these strikers, and I don't know if he has a speed at heavyweight that he would. That he would need to strike with him. Now, wrestling wise, yeah, I think he's gonna have to take him down and just round and pound. Because I don't think he should strike with him. He better not be striking with Ngannou.
Ngannou's knee, all those oblique kicks, teep kicks, head kicks, all stuff that just malicious, dude. The first DC fight, if you just watch the first, the whole fight actually, but like the first round or two, fresh John, dude, he just throws the scariest techniques. Like that to me is the scariest John Jones. And
oh,
just
yeah.
Do that whenever he wants. He's throwing the most reckless like kicks at DC, and DC wasn't like trying to take him down at all. Well,
nah.
Maybe here and there, but like just to have that type of confidence in his striking. And just from what I hear, John Jones bullies heavyweights, dude. Like, it's not even close in the gym when people come spar.
I'd love to see it, man. I mean, I heard, I think, who was it? I'm trying to think who would mention it. It was probably on Joe Rogan's podcast, one of the MMA guys he's had on there, that has mentioned that he hits extremely hard as a heavyweight. I mean, when he was taking that, when he had that time off, he was sitting at the heavyweight weight and was still training and was kind of just training at, you know, as a heavyweight, and was looking good. I'm just, man, I just feel like Ngannou's striking, man, at least I feel like he's comfortable, obviously, as a heavyweight, because that's where he's at naturally.
I think Ngannou's got incredible power, but besides that, skill set wise, he possesses nothing else.
I think he does, man. I feel like with Rozenstruik, though, he just didn't respect him, bro, and bum rushed him because he knew this guy wasn't going to do anything to him.
Do you think Ngannou can go 8 rounds with a pro boxer, like a debut boxer?
No. No. I don't know. I don't think so.
As far as Ngannou, I don't think you need – I mean, you can add to your skill set. You can polish what you're good at. But, like, dude, if I knew that all I had to do is just land one shot, I would fuck off. And just land. What happened to his power? And then the next fight, remind them.
Yeah.
Well, I think very highly of Ngannou. I do. And I'm not taking away from his skill set, but like, let's just say, this would be the fight, you know, them at the same weight. Let's just say we can take Ngannou's skills and John Jones' skills and put it at 125 pounds.
Yeah.
That's where my thinking goes.
Okay.
Obviously, he got hit by Reyes. He's been hit by a lot of fighters. But it's just kind of eye opening to me that he's not even afraid of Ngannou. He's like, dude, if you think I wouldn't take that,
no. That's one thing. Listen, when you're the best, I think, and that's why I mentioned like the Khabib thing before with Gaethje. I think when you're at that level, and I'm sure there's somebody that will come out there and say, oh, this guy for sure was running from this guy, and they were probably in the top 3 rankings or contenders. But just like DC said it. On when he was talking to Anik, and kind of like Anik, when I think was jokingly saying like, oh, you know, I think he said something along the lines of like, oh, you don't want to fight Ngannou. To DC, and DC is like, come on, Anik, come on, John. Like, I'm not afraid to fight anybody, you know. But I could see why people aren't looking forward to fighting a guy like Ngannou, considering the level of striking that he possesses, with the level of power. I think that's what makes him the most dangerous, obviously, because I feel like there's more of a threat of him getting caught at heavyweight than he would at 205, where it's just the power that would come from him getting caught by somebody like Francis compared to somebody like Thiago or Reyes is just at a higher level. But I can take – I've never bet against Jones, ever, ever, ever. I've never bet against him, and I never would. So I would love to see that fight. I think I would lean towards Jones because he's a Hall of Famer. But I think it would be one of his most dangerous fights to date. Just the way that Ngannou just puts people to orbit. It's scary. But I would love to see that fight. Because I think you're right. I think Jones would put a clinic striking-wise with the multitude of attacks that he has. I think he keeps that. I think he keeps him at bay with that, and then I don't think he knocks him out, but I think he takes him down and
submits him.
Beats the shit out of him on the ground. Because I think Ngannou's gonna try to scramble, or would try to scramble, and John would just stay with him and either keep him down or keep catching him on his way up to the point where it's gonna hurt. So That'll be interesting. Going to the Overeem Walt Harris card, fight night. That was another one I missed, unfortunately, basically all the fights except for the last one. I missed it. I wanted to see the Angela Hill Claudia fight. I think that was another split decision, similar to like the Watterson Esparza. But Claudia came out with the win. Did you get to catch that fight at all?
A little bit of it. I was there watching it. I was doing an Instagram live with Alon. So
okay, nice. But, if he's, by the way, if he would ever want to or be interested in hopping on the podcast, please shout out to him. We would love to have somebody of his caliber here join us.
Of course. I'll relay that. I think he might take it for sure.
Hey, if he's down. If not, it's all good. You know,
next Monday.
I know. I'm excited to see his next fight. That'd be awesome.
Of course. I thought Claudia was gonna cream Hill. I never thought Hill was that skilled. She definitely impressed me with her fight. But
it's got a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot better.
I thought Claudia just submitted her. She should have kept taking her down. She found success in that, but. Hill
wasn't utilizing it as much,
huh?
She wasn't utilizing her takedown, Claudia.
And then Hill, I think, dropped her in the second round.
Isn't there? I mean, I feel like Esparza also didn't really utilize her wrestling as much against Watterson. You know, I felt like Watterson was able to keep it on the feet more than I thought Carla would have let her, because I thought Carla was a way better grappler than she is, and had the ability to, I think, take her down and do work, but she, you know, she had some success, but didn't really make too much use of her wrestling. I felt like, I don't know. It's wild.
And like with Esparza, I didn't know that she can possess that skill set, but that's the whole point of, you know, martial arts, to continue to grow. And those two fighters, I underestimated them, and they both, you know, proved me wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm curious to see kind of what else. I mean, they're both in split decisions. I think the next big women's fight is going to be this 250 card, which is TBD, but we'll see. Yeah. It's not to try to rhyme. But I believe that's going to be Nunes and
Alicia
Spencer.
Yeah.
And Spencer. So I think, you know, if Nunes wants to continue, she has to continue her legacy. She's got to continue to compete and beat.
I don't think anybody can beat her. Cyborg was the last hope.
Legit. Which stinks, because it's like, I mean, division-wise, I think Shevchenko said she's eventually down to fight her again, right? Because they fought once.
Two against her. Even though I thought Shevchenko won the first fight and could have won the second one as well, because they're both razor thin. Still in two.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
A punch here, a kick there, you could have stole the judges in each fight. But I really thought she won the first one.
Yeah.
Second one was a little bit more stale. But, like, I think she took down, if I remember correctly, she took down Nunes and had her in a bad spot and was on top in the third round.
Yeah. And it stinks. It's another division, or, you know, at least in the women's division, you know, the two that are kind of standouts are obviously Shevchenko and Nunes at this point. You know, obviously you have your Paige VanZant, you have your Ostovich, your you know, your Tates and
not even close. Those are two different topics.
I know, but it's like
went way off track.
Well, you have, I mean, I'm saying, like, you have these women's fighters that are obviously marketable. They're yeah, kind of the faces, because they're beautiful girls. But when it comes to, you know, Michelle Watterson, Esparza, I mean, they're all great fighters, Hill, but like, who's reigning their division? It's Nunes and it's Shevchenko. Everybody else, I feel like, kind of.
Who's 115? Rhodes. No. Yeah.
No. It was
Andrade.
And Jiang.
Jiang. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And which even she is. I mean, she's phenomenal.
She looks pretty. I think JJ doesn't get a shot ever again.
Yeah.
She's had so many, and she used to be champ.
Yeah. Rose is the only other one that probably has another shot to kind of redeem herself. But she's got a rough road ahead of her. And I mean, Waylee
already doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. It looked. I felt like that was coming, because even when she was champ, it just seemed like she was kind of like, huh, you know, she got to her plateau and was like, yeah. It seemed like she just didn't want to. Not that she didn't want to be there, but like, bro, it's funny. Just like for like Whitaker, Robert Whitaker. I was gonna say Forrest Whitaker, like Robert Whitaker. Mm. It just you could see a little bit of like, yeah, like all right. What's, you know, what's really next for them?
A lot of money, harder fights.
Legit. I mean, but some of them don't, they don't want it. I mean, a lot of them have mentioned the pressures of being a champ and kind of the relief of not having to deal with that anymore, which, you know, is arguable for why the best of the best, why the greatest have essentially had that hunger. What's kept them there? You know, what's kept John Jones at the top? What's kept guys like GSP at the top? What's kept guys like Tony, Khabib, guys that were just always hungry for more. Connor, you know, Connor was a guy that also a lot of them just weren't. They were about fighting whoever was the best at that time, and they made it happen. So, you know, Dana said it best about Henry, and I think in general, if you're thinking about retiring, if your head's not in it anymore, you probably shouldn't be competing.
It's really easy to fall off mentally, because even after winning, you can kind of think just. It's like a big mental reset almost. Kind of sucks.
I feel like someone mentioned too lately how the weight cutting aspect is almost more the discipline. It was with Jeremy Stevens and how he came in heavy, really heavy. Mm-hmm. And I think John McCarthy and Josh Thompson were debating a little bit of whether or not he did it on purpose, or whether, like, John McCarthy was trying to make it an argument of it was something maybe strategic, because he felt like, well, there's nothing really on the line. You know, it's kind of last minute. I don't need to necessarily, you know, I can, if I miss weight, it's not too, you know, it's not too big of a deal, because if I win, then in the end, I'm propelling myself, you know, towards the top of the heap, regardless. I might lose maybe financially a little bit, but it gets me up to better fights, potentially more money. And Josh Thompson was thinking, I guess, because he knows Jeremy, his argument was more that he thought Jeremy was maybe focusing too much on Dominic's comeback, helping him train, than his own fight. And that's what made him unprepared to cut weight and things like that. So, it, you know, a lot of it, I think Josh Thompson was talking about kind of the, also why like Tony Ferguson might have made, try to make weight, which is the discipline of making sure that they can achieve this goal. And then after that, come in kind of however heavy you can get to by the time the fight gets there. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it affects obviously more some people more than others, like you mentioned with Tony. But I could also see why if you had the opportunity to miss it, because you think tactically it'll help you in your fight career.
I've missed weight before. I don't know if it's usually like a mental thing. You don't want to get back in the sauna, or you feel like you can't push anymore, or you just terrible preparation.
Yeah.
But at the highest level, it's a lot of money being thrown around.
That to me was, that's why I was kind of leaning maybe more towards Josh's end of, you know, maybe he was just a little under, just unprepared than tactical, because you're losing money. Even if you believe that you can win this fight, I mean, you're still giving up some of that purse, ain't you? So, I don't know. But. With that being said, I mean, I think we got some great things coming, hopefully, when it comes to these next few cards. They haven't really been lined up, but after this Nunes fight, I mean, there's no events online that are being promoted. I'm sure Dana's already had people in talks. He just hasn't blasted out the cards yet. But I'm curious to see when that Gaethje Khabib fight happens, if it does. September. Which is interesting. They're both managed by, you know, Ali Abdelaziz. I think I said I butchered his last name. So, you know, it'll be interesting, even though obviously they train out of two different gyms, but they have the same management.
You got to make the fight no matter what.
They have to, you have to unify the belts. You have to unify
both get paid. I mean, like Ali still gets paid. For sure.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest concern is Ramadan for Khabib.
I don't know what that is.
It's for his religion, for Islam. They basically, it's almost like a fasting period.
But when does it end, though?
It ends in, I think in June.
Oh, June or ready to go.
June, but then he would start his training camp. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So he'd probably give him the month of July, and then that's why they're saying, I think, that he would come back in September, because he'd have to have, I guess, minimum like 4 weeks training camp to make sure he can cut that weight. I think now, you know, that was, I think, with Ramadan. Now imagine with his dad, his health. I guess depending on the severity of his dad's health, if he's recovering, obviously I think he's going to start his training camp. If he's not, most likely he's going to stay in Russia with his dad until he feels, you know, he can leave. So if that's the case, then Ali's going to make some money, because I can almost imagine that, which would be weird, but I think most people won't care just to see the fight happen itself. If Justin fights Connor, and because that would give Connor the opportunity to potentially get the interim belt again, fight or get a belt again, essentially, have the opportunity to get vengeance towards Khabib and make a lot of money. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Definitely interesting. Moving forward, we got a lot of big fights to line up.
It's wild. Do we know, besides, I mean, John Jones mentioned Ngannou, but in the light heavyweight division, there really is
Jan,
yeah, that's really Blackwitz, right? That's really it. So after that, he might as well just try to be champ, and then most likely, I mean, you can vacate the light heavy, let somebody win it, then come back and win it again. Defend the heavyweight against one other person, go back down to light heavyweight, win it again, and then retire if you want and be done. Be the greatest.
I think he's got another 5-6 fights in him.
I think he does, but the problem is, who is he going to fight? Israel's the only other, like, besides Francis now, obviously. Israel's the only other fighter that probably people would want to see besides Ngannou.
Yeah.
There's really nobody else. Unless somebody emerges and ends up being like just a standout. As of now, I can't think of anybody that's gonna, you know.
Totally forgot about this.
Besides the guys like Santos, them making a comeback, Reyes kind of making a comeback. But who's, you know, how's that gonna work? Are they gonna fight somebody in the meantime and then fight John? It doesn't seem like any of them are gonna get a rematch anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's wild, because you have welterweight, which is, there's some killers at 170. There's some killers at 155. There's some killers at 145. 135 is looking pretty good with Dom being back too. But those, you know, light heavy, heavyweight, even middleweight, it's kind of the same guys that we've seen for a while now. So
we'll see.
I'm wondering where it goes from here, man.
Good time.
You've been back training. How have you been feeling? How's it been in this training in this pandemic?
A few garages, very small groups. Not many people. Still good work. I definitely felt it today when I was rolling. Tried to push the cardio when I was doing striking. Feels good, man. I just got to get this weight off that I put on during lockdown and then go even farther from that.
That quarantine 15, baby.
Even more. It was 20.
yeah. We're not telling about it. You know, I'm just kidding.
Just get skinny, get back to like 170 walking around weight so I can fight at 155. and then get this career back going. I'm excited about
that. Get it. Let's get it.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to all you lifers out there who stuck with us, who stuck through all the craziness, who stuck through listening to videos playing on my ESPN website when I'm looking up events. Mm-hmm. Mikey, thank you for being here with us, guys. Hopefully this is a thing that we'll keep going. MMA Mondays with Senor Mikey here and Papa Josh. Peace, guys. Enjoy.
Yay.
Yay.